Well, it's certainly a blessing to be here tonight and to have an opportunity to be a part of this assembly. I've enjoyed the song service and the assembly and the prayers this far. I appreciate the prayers on my behalf. Appreciate you being here tonight and taking part in this, and it's been edifying to me, and hopefully the things that I have to say will be edifying to you as well. I want to thank the congregation here for hosting me or having me for this meeting. Very much looking forward to the rest of this week, and hopefully we'll have some things which will be uplifting and will be encouraging your Christian walk. I want to start out tonight by reading the 32nd Psalm, Psalm 32. We're going to take a talk from a lesson that we learned from David here in Psalm 32. So if you'd like to turn along with me, we're going to read the entire psalm. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I hid not. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." I think this psalm, to us, has a lot of things that we could talk about. We're not going to delve into detail about each of the different things that we can learn from this. But I think very much this psalm is very applicable to us. David most likely wrote this after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and he'd written the 51st psalm, the psalm of repentance there as a result of the sin that he had committed. And he talks about the blessings that come from having his sins forgiven. He had been forgiven because of the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba. And he talks about how great it was to have those things overlooked or those things forgiven by God. Those of us who are Christians have had our sins forgiven, and that's a great and blessed thing, and we can relate to David in this way. We know that we're full of iniquity, we know that we sin, we often fall short of the glory of God, and yet we have forgiveness through Christ, and that's a great blessing. And God grants great blessings to those who trust in Him. We read there in verse 10, it says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." And I want to pick out a few things that David talked about in this psalm, which I think applies to us as well when it comes to our relationship with God, the blessings that come from having a relationship with God, from having our sins forgiven. And hopefully it'll encourage you as we study these things to take advantage of those things and not turn and trust in anything else, not trust in the world, but trust in God. And I want to focus on a few of those things tonight. We think about the fact that David said to God, "You are my hiding place." And we think about your life. If you have a place of refuge to go to, we always think about the home as a place of refuge. Whenever we go out into the world, we work and there's stress around us and there's danger, we can always feel safety in going home. And even inside the home, sometimes we have a hiding place. We have a place where we feel comfortable and safe, our rooms or sometimes we have man caves and things like that. Just a place where we can have a place of refuge and feel safe. And that's a great blessing in a physical sense. But I want to ask you about whether or not, in a spiritual sense, you have that safety and that refuge. David said God was his hiding place. God was his place of refuge and safety. David had gone through a lot of times of trial and trouble in his life. And obviously, at this point, he was troubled. And he had been thankful that he had been forgiven, but he was thankful again that he had God to turn to in those times. So I want you to consider your life. The times when you're downtrodden, the times when you're sad, the times when you have depression perhaps, or you're going through some kind of spiritual ailment, where do you turn to? And there's lots of different options in the world. Let's talk about how we need to turn to God, first of all, for the first part of the sermon, for safety and comfort in times of trouble. Psalm 62, verse 7. Says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." You see, whereas mankind in general may turn to other things in times of need, in times when they need a refuge and safety, the psalmist here says, God is my refuge. And if we trust and put our trust and faith in God, it'll help us tremendously overcome the times of sadness, the time when we're downtrodden. Think about all the options that people can turn to. Sin problems, substances, addictions, and things like that. We think about the wisdom of men. Whenever people are downtrodden, a lot of times they'll turn to self-help books and things like that. And I'm not saying that self-help books and things like that are necessarily wrong. But whenever you're turning to those things and instead of turning to God, you need to get your priorities straight. You see, God is our refuge. God should be our refuge. And God is the one who's only going to provide that safety and comfort in a spiritual sense. He'll protect us when we're down. He'll protect us when we're struggling with sin. Many tonight may struggle with sin. Or perhaps you have stress in your life, there's family issues, or some kind of spiritual problem that you might have. Who do you turn to? Where do you look in times when you're down, in times when you're sad? David turned to God, and he said that he'd be blessed in doing so. Matthew 6, verse 13, Jesus talked about in the prayer, how in the Lord's Prayer, how he asked God not to lead them into temptation. And God can truly help us whenever we're struggling with sin. Think about David when he wrote Psalm 32 here. David was a man who had gone through many trials in his life. At one point, he was on the run from Saul, and he was sleeping in different places in the wilderness and caves. He knew what it meant to need a hiding place, to need a place of refuge. He had experienced that in his life in a physical sense, and he'd experienced that in a spiritual sense as well. Thankfully, we can turn to God and Christ in those times, and that's a great blessing. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 32 tells us that we need to turn to Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." So he says, whenever we're burdened down with the cares of life, whenever we need rest, we can turn to Christ. So what does it mean to take refuge in Christ and to take refuge in God? Think about what he says there. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." God's Word teaches us about Christ, and we can study the Scriptures. Turn to God's Word for guidance and comfort in times of when we struggle. And we can do God's will. We can take His yoke upon us. We can pray to God. And that's a great blessing. All those ways are great ways for us to learn and to grow and to have a place of refuge and comfort in times when we struggle. A hiding place and a place of refuge for us to turn to in times of need. Instead of turning to sin problems, instead of turning to substances or the wisdom of men, we can turn to the Word of God. And that's a great and wonderful blessing. Another thing that David talked about here in Psalm 32, in addition to God providing or being a hiding place for David, David said that he would give him songs of deliverance. "Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And to me, I think he's talking about songs of joy. We can receive joy as Christians in God. In fact, if you look down at verse 11, he says, "Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Songs of deliverance. We can have joy in God. James 5:13 talks about, "If any is merry among you, sing songs." We sing songs when we're happy, when we have joy. And we have a lot of joy in being a Christian, in having forgiveness of our sins, just like David did. God will provide you songs of deliverance. That's a great and wonderful blessing. If you'll accept that and you'll turn to it and receive it. I want you to think about Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the story of Jonah, many of you may be familiar with, how he was told to go and preach to the city of Nineveh, and he refused to do so. And so he went and hid himself from God and went, or tried to hide himself from God, and went into a ship, and he was cast out of the ship at one point, and he ended up being swallowed by a great fish. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Jonah 2, 1 through 10. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, or Sheol, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." Now I want you to consider what the situation was, and what a horrible thing it was for Jonah here to be in the belly of this fish. Can you imagine being in that situation? We may go through times of sadness and trial and heartache, but I don't think anyone's here has been in the belly of a fish. Jonah was in a sad situation. He talked about how he cried unto God from the belly of hell, of Sheol, and he says that God heard his voice. What a desperate situation. And yet, he trusted in God, and he had joy in him. He says, "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." He believed that God could save him from that fish. He says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Wonderful example for us. Whenever we're experiencing times of sadness, whenever we're down, think about Jonah and the words that he spoke. He says, "Those who observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." If you seek to overcome the sadness and depression you might have in your life and sinful things in the world, you're forsaking Christ and you're forsaking God and mercy. Salvation is of the Lord, he says. We can be thankful to God. We can have joy in knowing that we've been forgiven of our sins and hope and have hope and peace in our life. And that's a wonderful blessing. We need to be willing to take advantage of it. Instead of turning to the world, instead of wallowing in our self-pity and sadness whenever we're stressed, whenever we're down, we can remember the promises and blessings that we have in having our sins forgiven. That God has granted us these songs of deliverance, that we need to rejoice in the Lord always, as the Bible says. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 tells us the attitude we should have whenever we're downtrodden. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, this is something that I struggle with at times. It's difficult to not be anxious for anything. Sometimes, whenever you go through life, you just have worries. You worry about work, or you worry about money, or you worry about your family, or some spiritual matter. And we can get so bogged down in that stress and in that worry and that sadness that we don't trust in God, that we don't put our faith in Him, that we don't enjoy the blessings that God has given us. He says that we can have peace, a peace that passes all understanding, to turn to God in prayer in times when we're down, and to enjoy the blessings whenever we have those things. And we are blessed in many ways as Christians. Think about the many blessings you have in your life, the things that could bring you joy if you're a Christian, just by the fact that you are a Christian. You have a spiritual family to be there for you, to guide you, to help you, to encourage you. Ones that you can lean on in times of trouble. You have God's Word, given by God to guide you and direct your steps. You have a hope of a home in heaven. What a wonderful blessing. Sometimes I think we get so sad and we think, for some reason, that that's what God expects of us. That life is toil and sadness, and we need to be sad, or we ought to be sad. But that's not what the Scriptures tell us. The Scriptures tell us we can have peace. The Scriptures tell us that we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There are great blessings, aren't there, from being a Christian, from having a hope of a home in heaven. We can enjoy the blessings that we have down here below just from the virtue of the fact that we are Christians. When you consider the fact that those who don't have that hope, those who don't have that peace, often have to endure trials in life that we don't endure. We have a spiritual family. We have safety and security in our loved ones that many in the world do not have. Many in the world are slaves to sin and addictions and the lust of the flesh. In a lot of ways, that can be a very miserable lifestyle. But we are free from that as Christians. And we can enjoy the blessings God has given us. We can be thankful, like David was thankful. What a wonderful blessing we have to be a Christian. And finally, the greatest blessing is we have a hope of a home in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18 gives us words of comfort and peace. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18 says, But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And truly, what comforting words are these? That we don't have to sorrow like those who have no hope. What a miserable existence to think that this is the end of our existence. To not have a hope of the resurrection. Not have a hope of a home forever with God in heaven. What a great blessing. What a great expectation and hope that we have. We should rejoice in that, and it's all right to rejoice in that and be thankful to God for those things. Just like David was thankful for his forgiveness, how David said God had given him songs of deliverance, and how those who had received forgiveness should be glad in the Lord and rejoice and shout for joy, all that you're upright in heart. We can do that, and we should do that in our Christian life. The final thing that I want to talk about that David mentioned here in Psalm 32 that is a blessing that we can take advantage of and should take advantage of is the guidance that God provides. Verse 8, back in Psalm 32, actually this is God responding to David in the psalm where he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And we have guidance through God and through His Word. What a horrible thing it would be in life to have no direction, to have no guidance, or guidance that is flawed, guidance that is based upon faulty promises. What a horrible disadvantage that would be. But we can have guidance in God's Word, which is truth, which is based upon promises which are amazing, and which will certainly come to fruition. God's Word will direct our steps. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp in my feet and a light in my path. We can use the Word that God has given us and God will guide us in our way. Our life is not nebulous. Our life is not without direction. We don't have to worry about the meaning of life or why we're here or what we're doing because we know the meaning of life. We know that we need to fear God and keep His commandments. And God has given us a path to follow, a path of righteousness. If we'll take that path, if we'll follow that path, if we'll study God's Word in our lives and apply those godly principles in it. Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, a very famous Psalm, verse 3, David says, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God can lead you and direct your steps. And I want you to consider for yourself whether or not you're being led by God or whether or not there's something else that's leading you in your life. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's the wisdom of man. Maybe you're a slave to some addiction. Turn to God and His Word. Turn to the guidance which God provides. You know, one of the great blessings of being a Christian and growing up in a godly home for myself is I could always turn to my parents for guidance and for advice. And that's a great blessing. And I think that that's God, you know, generally ordained that. That the parents would lead the home, the mother and father would direct the steps of the children, and that's a great blessing. I'm thankful that I had my mom and my dad to help me at times, and my dad is gone now, but I'm thankful I still have my mom to help give me advice. And there's other brothers and sisters in Christ who can advise me and guide me, and I can follow in their footsteps, and those are good things. But really, in the end, if I follow them, and they're following God, I'm following God myself. And even though my dad is gone, my mom someday may be gone before I move on in my or go on in my life. God's Word is always here to direct me. God's Word is always available. I can always turn to God for guidance, for advice, and trust in it, and trust that it's the truth, that it'll never fail. Though sometimes the advice of men may be flawed, if it's not based on godly principles, I can know that His Word is always true. It will always be there, and it can always guide me my way. I need to turn to it more in my life when I struggle with things, when I'm sad, when I don't have the direction that I know I need to have. I can turn to His Word, and He will guide me with His eye, as the Bible says. That's a great blessing. You know, God offers you these great gifts. He offers you joy. He offers you a refuge in times of struggle. He offers you guidance in your life. And just like any gift, you have to accept those gifts to take full advantage of them. But too often, even Christians, we don't take advantage of those blessings as we should. We turn to other things. And that's a horrible thing. David turned to the Lord. And I hope I encourage you tonight to turn to God. Whenever you're struggling with sadness, with spiritual problems, with sin in your life, turn to God as your refuge. Pray to God. Study His Word. Live a godly life. And God will lift you up. God will provide you rest and comfort and peace and security. Whenever you're downtrodden, realize and take advantage of the joy that comes in being a Christian. Live a Christian life. Experience the peace that comes, that passes all understanding of hoping, of having a hope of a home in heaven. Whenever you have times in your life where you need direction and guidance, turn to God's Word, and God will guide you with His eye. You have to accept those blessings, though, in order to take advantage of them. And I encourage you to do that in your day-to-day life. We've talked very briefly tonight about the blessings that God has given you, and hopefully we've encouraged you to take advantage of them. Perhaps in your life tonight, you don't have that direction. Perhaps you're a slave to sin or some other problem in your life, and you know you need to turn to God. You know you need to put your trust and faith in Him and His Word. We want to help you tonight. If you're not a Christian, you haven't accepted salvation, you haven't experienced that peace which passes all understanding. You can't have that joy which comes in knowing that your sins have been remitted. The Bible makes it very clear the steps which you must follow in order to receive that. The Bible says we must believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be willing to repent of our sins, turn and live our life after Him. You must be willing to confess your belief in Christ before others. You must be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And if you do that, then you can start having direction in your life. You can have a hope of a home in heaven. You can have peace which passes all understanding and all the blessings that come with it, including a spiritual family which will help you and encourage you. What a great opportunity. What a great blessing to take advantage of if you haven't already. We also want to offer another invitation. If you are a Christian, and perhaps you feel like you haven't turned to God in times whenever you've struggled with sin, perhaps you haven't experienced and taken advantage of the joys that God offers you in being a Christian, perhaps God is not your refuge, and God has not been your guide in your life. We encourage you to turn back to God, to study His Word, to apply godly principles, to pray to God, to ask Him to help you, and we can pray with you and for you tonight. We're willing to help you, to encourage you, to lift you up, as you strive to walk daily in accordance to God's will and be a better Christian and follower of Christ day by day. Take advantage of your brethren tonight who want to help you as you struggle. And we offer those invitations. If you wish to become a child of God tonight, or you wish to seek the prayers of the church as a Christian, please come forward and have a seat in the front row as we stand and sing.